Well, here we are, week three of WIN. And today we're going to be continuing in our look at Mark 13. We're going to be in verses 14 to 25 as we look at this discourse that Jesus has with Andrew, Peter, James, and John. You know, the first 2 weeks of this series, Jesus has given us a couple of warnings that we need to pay attention to. He tells us last week to be on guard. Remember that. Be on guard and do not be deceived by any of the end time signs. He also told us that we need to be watchful that for different indicators that are going to mark the coming of it. Things that are going to happen before His second advent. There's going to be political unrest. If we haven't looked at the news, we know that there is political unrest right now. He said that you're going to have other things happen. You're going to have wars and these unrest between nations. You're going to have indicators that such as what's going to happen in our environment and in the world today. You're going to have natural unrest and earthquakes and famines. There are going to be signs in heavens. All of these are birth pains and precursors to His second coming. And all these things must happen. You know, as Jesus warns His followers, and He's warning us today, we're going to be facing persecution in the church, all for His name's sake. We're going to see social unrest and unrest in our families, all because of the turmoil that He is going to cause. You know, today we're going to be looking at verses that are described in the Olivet Discourse that have been fulfilled. There are some things that Jesus talks about in the Olivet Discourse that have already been fulfilled and things that we need to be looking forward to, things that have not happened yet. And today we're going to be kind of in a mix of both of those as we look at this passage from Mark 13. Now, it's important to consider why we look at Scripture the way that we do. And especially prophecy, because we can see that Scripture is trustworthy and it is true when we see prophecies that were made that are fulfilled and when they come to pass. That gives us assurance that the Scripture is exactly what it says that it is, the living Word of God. So when we look at passages like especially specific prophecies, it's important for us to remember where they've come, what's come to pass, and what is yet to come to pass, so that we can tell and stand upon the truth of the Scripture. You know, when we read passages of that tell us of coming judgment that have not happened yet, we must be prepared for those prophetic passages to come to pass. When we look at the passages of Scripture in the Bible, that's exactly what we're looking for: what has happened and what is yet to come. So today we're going to be in Mark 13, verses 14 to 25. And let's go ahead and read this passage as we get started this morning. When you see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it does not belong, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down and enter the house or take anything out. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that this will not take place in winter, because those will be days of distress, unequaled from the beginning, when God created the world until now, and never be equaled again. If the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, whom He has chosen, He has shortened them. At that time, if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Christ," or "Look, there He is," do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and miracles to deceive the elect, if that were possible. So be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time. But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word this morning, and I pray that as we dive deep into it, that you would lead us in the discussion. Oh, Father, teach us what we need to know. Father, prepare us for what we need to be prepared for. And Lord God, we give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, as we begin to break these verses down, I want everyone to be mindful of how we interpret Scripture. How do we interpret Scripture? There are two ways that we can interpret Scripture. We can interpret literally, that the Bible means what it says, exactly the way it says it, or we can look at it symbolically, that there are symbols that the Bible is teaching us about that we need to be mindful of. Now, over the years, I have been more of a literal interpretation kind of a guy. I believe that the Bible is telling us exactly what it wants us to see. However, there is some symbolism that goes along with it. I still land on the literal interpretation of Scripture, and I think that that is going to be proven today as we look at a very important passage of Scripture that we cannot overlook when we talk about end times prophecy. And that is going to be what Jesus talks about when he says, "Watch out for the abomination that causes desolation, standing where it does not belong." Where does that come from? Well, that actually comes from Daniel, the 9th chapter, verses 20 through 27. And Jesus was telling the disciples, "Remember what Daniel has taught us. Watch and see what he has shown us, and be careful of what is coming." So if we look at Daniel chapter 9, and I'm going to read 20 through 27 because I think that it's important that we take all of this in. And just to give you a little bit of what's going on here, in chapter 8 of Daniel, Daniel's given a vision. And he really doesn't understand what that vision meant. God, what are you trying to tell me in this vision? So Daniel begins to pray in chapter 9. Lord, give me understanding of what this vision means. And we pick up in verse 20. "When I was speaking and praying, confessing my sins and the sins of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still praying, Gabriel, the man that I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight, about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, 'Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city, to finish transgressions and put an end to the sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up visions and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. No one understand this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and trenches, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off, and he will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end is decreed, is poured out on him." Whew. Man, there's a lot there. There is a lot there. And I prayed about this, and the biggest prayer that I had was, "Lord, help me to make sense of it and help me to deliver it in a way that people are going to understand. Because there's a lot there. And because there's a lot there, we can begin to get lost in all of it. So let's break this down a little bit. We're going to be looking at verses 25 through 27 as it relates to Mark 13, when Jesus talked about the abomination of desolation. Now, in this prophecy and in this vision that Daniel was given, there is a large span of time that is being talked about. And there are a number of different events that Gabriel is telling Daniel about, okay? We know for a fact that Jerusalem was destroyed, right? We've already talked about that at the beginning of this series. But it starts out talking about, Gabriel starts talking about a time that in Daniel's prophecy that Jerusalem that had been destroyed is going to be rebuilt. All right? It's going to be rebuilt, and that is going to be the precursor to everything that is going to happen in this prophecy. That is the starting point in which we are to look for. That happened in Nehemiah chapter 2, 1 through 8, where Nehemiah heard of the ruins in Jerusalem, and he was the cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. And Artaxerxes noticed that Nehemiah was having, he looked very distraught. He wasn't himself. And he asked him what was going on. Nehemiah began to tell Artaxerxes that he was sad that his homeland, the city Jerusalem, its walls had been torn down, it had been rummaged and ransacked, and that upset him. And Artaxerxes issued a decree that Nehemiah could go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And that's the prophecy that that Daniel 9 is talking about. It says, at that point, the point that Artaxerxes makes the decree to go back and build the walls of Jerusalem, that is our starting point. That's where we begin to start counting. Okay, this is called the 70 weeks of Daniel, the prophecy of 70 weeks. Now, when we look at the term weeks, there are two ways that we can actually interpret that. It can mean a period of 7 days. A week is 7 days, right? Okay, everybody still with me? When it's plural, coming from Genesis, the word weeks can actually mean a period of 7 years. Okay? So we have weeks of 7 year periods of time. It's called the 70 weeks of Daniel, the prophecy. Can we go to the... I'm getting ahead of myself. Hold on. I got to see where my math is at. We're getting ready for math. Did I tell you we're doing math today? Let's go ahead and go to this one, the math one. All right. In this prophecy, Gabriel tells Daniel that there's going to be 7 weeks of seven. So 70 times seven equals 490 years left in Israel's history is what Gabriel's telling Daniel. There are going to be 490 years that we need to pay attention to and look at. And in it left in Israel's history, that's kind of deceiving. I probably shouldn't have put that on there. 490 years though. Okay, we have the starting point when Artaxerxes makes that decree. Now, we look at the second type that Gabriel tells Daniel about. He says there's going to be seven sevens and 62 sevens until the anointed one comes. Seven plus 62, or times 62, is 483. 483 years from the time of the decree to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem until Jesus comes as Messiah. Now, that comes as Messiah is important because it is different from the coming of Christ. This is not talking about his birth. It is talking about him coming as king. 483 years. Is everybody still with me? Okay. Back in the late 1800s, there was a man by the name of Sir Robert Anderson. He was a police officer at Scotland Yard. Very intelligent man. He took this prophecy of Daniel and he figured out that, hey, we know the beginning point of when to start counting at the rebuilding of Jerusalem walls. How many days are there in 483 years? Well, there are 173,880 days. That is based on a 360-year calendar that the Hebrews used. Okay? Not 365, but 360. That's where he came up with the number 173,880 days. And he knew that if he looked at when the decree that Artaxerxes put forth on rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, that he knew the starting point, and that date was March 14th, 455 BC, is when Artaxerxes issued that decree. And he began counting. And he counted. And he figured. Up until the date of April 6th, 32 AD. What is so special about April 6th, 32 AD? What happens generally around April 6th? Easter. Do you know what day April 6th, 32 AD was? It was the very day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem for the last time on Palm Sunday. And if you're not feeling the tingling on the back of your neck, I'm sorry, but that's something to go wow about. 483 days from the time the decree went out until Jesus entered Jerusalem for the last time. That is a pretty convincing argument for the literal interpretation of Scripture. But it's not called the 70-week prophecy for nothing. We have 483 of them accounted for. We know that this has happened. But there's still a 7-year period of time that is unaccounted for. Now, in our minds, you know, we look at 490 and think, well, 483 has been fulfilled. Those next 7 years should have been fulfilled already. Well, not necessarily. God doesn't work like we do. So there's still a 7-year period of time that we are looking for, or we're looking towards. There will be a 7-year period of great tribulation that still needs to be fulfilled. Daniel's prophecy continues in verses 26 and 27. And it describes the future events that will take place at the end of the age. And this is part of the great tribulation that is going to happen, this thing, this event that we're looking for. We still have that 70th week to go. The last week has not happened as of yet. So, is everyone still with me? We've gone through all the math and we've kind of looked at this and all of that. But let's take this and put it into perspective when we talk about Matthew 13. You know, the focus that Jesus was talking about to his disciples was the abomination that causes desolation, where it does not belong. Let the reader understand, Jesus says. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down and enter the house and take anything out. Let no one in the field go back and get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that this does not take place in winter, because those will be days of distress unequaled from the beginning, when God created the world until now, and never to be equaled again. Now we know that it is a historical fact that the city of Jerusalem fell. And remember, this course started out by the disciples saying, "Lord, look at these great buildings." And he said, "Look, not one stone that you see here will be left on another. They will all be thrown down. This city is going to be destroyed." And that happened in 70 AD. And the Jewish historian and general Josephus, he records the gravity of that situation that happened in 70 AD and the reports that he give of what life was like inside Jerusalem as Rome was about to destroy it. The destruction of property and land, the death of the people that was there was horrific. It was catastrophic. But Jesus makes an interesting statement here in what he's telling the disciples. He says, "Let the reader beware." That seems kind of interesting to me. Let the reader beware. Now, there wasn't very many transcripts of the New Testament that were going around in 70 AD. There were some, but "let the reader beware" seems like a future statement. That this is not something you're going to hear about. This is something that you're going to read about here. Let them beware. At the time that Jerusalem was destroyed by the Roman army, Josephus had made mention of a couple of things that were pretty horrible. You know, Jesus had talked about, pray that this doesn't happen in winter, because this is going to be a time for mothers and pregnant women that is going to be horrific. It was so bad in Jerusalem. The food shortage was unbelievable. That Josephus actually writes about mothers and women who were eating their babies because they had nothing else to eat. I mean, you think about that and how hard that would be. But Jesus says that this is going to be the kind of distress that they're going to be under. Make sure that it doesn't happen in winter. You know, over the years, my view on eschatology and prophecy has somewhat changed. And I think that I made mention of this in probably the first message that I gave. We know that Jesus was talking about 70 AD and the destruction of Jerusalem. That has already been fulfilled. If I check that box off right now and say, that has already happened in prophecy, it's done and it's over, how do I deal with the rest of Daniel's prophecy, talking about what's going to happen at the end, those last 7 years, and what Jesus is telling us about? It doesn't add up. It doesn't really make sense. I believe that this has already been fulfilled, and it's going to happen again. It will be fulfilled a second time, as the abomination of desolation is set up where it does not belong. A third temple is going to have to be built. I believe that is going to happen. I believe that we're going to see the abomination of desolation set up yet again in the third temple, in a place where it does not believe, by a man called the Antichrist. I think that's what Daniel 9, 26 and 27 was talking about. And we're going to get deeper into that in a couple of weeks. But I believe that this prophecy is going to be fulfilled again, because history, it repeats itself. We don't learn from our mistakes like we really should. And we've seen history repeated time and time again. So Daniel 9 is speaking of the end of the age. Because the terms that Gabriel uses at the beginning when he's talking to Daniel about this, they are final type terms that he uses. They are finished. It's the end. Everything is going to be completed. And for those things to happen again, it's going to take place in Jerusalem, where the worship is going to start again in the third temple and have this image set up. You know, this is going to happen. The abomination that causes desolation. So, to kind of give you some ideas on that, this prophecy was actually fulfilled in the 2nd century BC. from 200 BC to 101 BC, there was a king, and I'm going to butcher his name, Antiochus IV. So he was a king that basically set up an image of Zeus with his own face on it in the Jewish temple. That is an abomination that causes desolation. It is a statue, something to be worshipped that is not God. It was set up in that temple, and that temple has been destroyed. So we know that there's going to be another abomination that causes desolation that is going to come with an unholy image placed in the temple worship to God that is completely and totally against Him. And it causes Jesus to speak to His disciples yet again. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. So a couple of final thoughts as we close up here. There were the elect in the days of the apostles. There are God's elect today, and there will be God's elect in the future. We must be on guard and not fall for the deception that will come because of the end of the age is at hand. You know, at the end of the age, that's when Jesus will renew all things, and that is what we're looking forward to. But Jesus does not say that these things are going to be easy. He doesn't say that they're going to be enjoyable. He's telling us, look, it's going to get real hard. You've got to be ready. You have to be ready. Be on guard and be prepared. You know, Jesus gives His followers the advance warning of the things that are going to come. And at the end of this passage, Jesus talks about how this distress is going to happen. And then at the end, there's going to be signs in the heavens. The sun's going to be darkened. The moon will not give its light. And as we finish up here this morning, how many of you have had trouble with that passage of Scripture? God, how in the world is that going to happen? How are you going to darken the sun and the moon not give its light? The last time I looked, everything on earth, we revolve around the sun and we need its light in order to survive. Right? We have to have the sun's light in order to survive. How in the world is God going to darken the sun and the moon not give its light? I've struggled with that for a long time, until this year. Did you know on March 24th of 2021, there was a report to come out? This report came out about global warming and how we were going to combat global warming. And that there is an actual study that's going on, and it's being developed through technology, a way for us to darken the sun. It's going to protect us from all the UV rays, and it's going to, you know, cause this global warming thing to go away and help. It's going to darken the sun. And as soon as I heard it, I thought of this. Sometimes God doesn't do things the way we expect Him to. Sometimes He allows us to do it to ourselves. And this is an actual report that came out that there will be the darkening of the sun. And that would just be another sign of the potential fulfillment of prophecy that's coming up. You know, sometimes we hear people talk about how all of this has already happened, how it's irrelevant, it's symbolism. I don't think so. I think that it's really going to happen. And it's going to happen someday soon. Maybe not in my lifetime. There have been millions of other people that have come before me that have thought it's going to happen in my lifetime that hasn't. It may not happen in our lifetime. Or it may happen tomorrow. We just don't know. We have to be ready. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for your love and your grace and your goodness. We pray, Father, that we will let this soak in and, Father, speak to our hearts. Let us remember that even though we don't see how it's going to happen, how it's going to come to pass, Father, you do. You've known it from the creation of the world, from the beginning of the foundations of the world, you've known. Father, there's going to be fulfillment of prophecy, and I pray that we take it all in and we understand it. We understand that, and we look at this from a child of God perspective. Father, that your children will be with you in glory. And oh God, it doesn't matter what we go through or how we go through it. The important thing is we stand firm to your truth. We stand firm to Jesus our Savior. Father, we love you and we thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' sweet name. Amen.